Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from Pueblo, Colorado, on this 10th day of February, 2009. As we all know, Valentine's Day is rapidly approaching, so in honor of that day, we'll be discussing the greatest love stories on film with two terrific guests today. Kimberly Potts, author of Everything I Need to Know, I Learned from a Chick Flick, and film critic Diana Sanger from Classic Movie Guide will be joining us in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to announce that we'll also be giving away copies of Kimberly's entertaining book, as well as ebook copies of It Had to Be Us, an award-winning romantic memoir, to 7 lucky listeners. If you're interested in receiving one of these books, please send me an email at realtalk@comcast.net. That's R-E-E-L-T-A-L-K, realtalk@comcast.net. And in the email, tell me that you're interested in taking part in our Valentine book giveaway. Then I'll place your name in our random drawing. So I think you will be very happy if you're one of the lucky recipients of either one of these books. Now, let's see if Nikki and Jazz are ready to get things started. Nikki, is our chat room open?
Yes, ma'am, it is, and we are ready to go.
All right. Thanks so much, Nikki. And thanks to the people in the chat for their participation. And of course, I'm also grateful to have such a helpful co-host. Jazz, do you feel intimidated by being our only male panelist today?
I feel intimidated all the time, usually whenever Nikki's around, because she threatens me a lot. But she's very efficient, a great producer, and she takes great care of the chat.
Yes, she does, and besides all of her many, many tasks in connection with Blog Talk Radio, but I didn't think you would be, you know, very intimidated with today's show.
I was more intimidated by the subject matter, actually, because when I found out we were doing this show, the first thing, you know, I'm sorry, I'm one of those stereotypical guys, and I heard great love stories, and I thought, oh, my God, chick flicks, I probably don't like any of them. And then when I was preparing, I realized, you know, maybe not the modern ones, but there's a whole bunch of love stories that are on my top list of films, and I hadn't thought about it that way, so it's going to be very informative for me.
Well, I think it is, and it's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. So let's say hello to our guests right now. Of course, you know that Diana is a very popular, regular guest on our show, and this is Kimberly's second time here. Remember, she did such a great job last year when we were discussing her wonderful George Clooney biography. So welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Kimberly.
And she was fabulous.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much. It's good to be back and chatting with you today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show again, and it's always fun to hear from Diana. How are you this afternoon, Diana?
I'm doing great, and it's a delight to be on your show again, Betty.
Well, we always love having you on the show, and I know you're a very busy lady with all of the things you're doing also, so we're glad you were able to take time out to be with us today. But I'd like to start out by asking Kimberly to tell us something about her book that she's so generously giving away today, and maybe to explain what the difference is between a love story and a chick flick. So, Kimberly, you're on.
Thanks so much. Well, I think, you know, when I did the book, which I wrote because this is, it's just always been my favorite genre of movie, and I did kind of separate the movies out into different kinds of chick flick, and it's, I think it's interesting that you asked that question about what is the difference between a love story and a chick flick, because you know, I think most people would assume that they're the same thing, but it's just not true anymore. I think especially with modern chick flicks, they're not always focused around a romance. The best example I can think of just recently is The Devil Wears Prada. It's not really, you know, there's romance in it, but it's not really revolving around the romance. It's about her career and developing that and this relationship she has with the Meryl Streep character and the Anne Hathaway character and the Meryl Streep character. And even kind of flipping the reverse side of that, I think if you think of a movie like Jerry Maguire, you wouldn't think of that as being a chick flick, but it certainly is. There's a great love story in it. So, yeah, they're just... chick flicks today don't necessarily revolve around love stories.
They're not necessarily romantic movies,
right,
or romantic comedies. I see. So, well, that helps a lot. Now, what about your book? Did you have fun writing your book? What's it about? I mean, other than chick flicks, and what were the things that you needed to know?
Well, kind of the idea of it was that you know, We all watch these chick flicks and dozens of them, and that was actually the most fun part of writing the book, was having an excuse to go back and rent these movies and buy some of my favorites. But that, it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not totally, that, you know, a lot of these movies, the reason I think that they connect so much with people and that people do watch them over and over again is because you do kind of pick little life lessons out of some of them. And that was kind of the idea behind the book, not just to write about my favorite chick flicks, but why they're my favorite, why they resonate with so many people. You know, an example I think is Pretty Woman. So many people love that movie. And if you just said to someone, well, it's a Disney movie about a prostitute, they're, you know, that doesn't sound like it's going to be really one of the greatest love stories of chick flicks of all time. it really is, and most people love that movie, especially people who love chick flicks. I think that's on a lot of people's, you know, top 10 list of chick flicks. So
I just never heard it described that way before. Thank you.
That's a good description. Well, I can't wait to get a copy of your book, Kimberly, because I just think that's one of my favorite book titles I think that I've ever seen. Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Chick Flick. And we certainly want to thank you for donating 5 copies so that we could give them away to some lucky listeners today. Well, are we? Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no, that's so. Again, that was kind of the idea of the book. To give me an excuse to watch all those movies again, and just to kind of pull out the little nuggets in each of them. And you know, I always think that even the worst movie, which I didn't include in the book, they're definitely all movies that I love. But I think even the worst movie usually has some little redeemable thing about it. There's a great quote, or maybe there's a great performance, or just it was so bad that it was fun to talk about how bad it was afterwards. So, you know, I think with movies that, again, that people really love, there's always a reason behind it. There's something that they really got from it, and or just that it, you know, it just makes them happy. It puts them in a good mood to watch these movies, or they kind of relate it to something in their life, and it makes a little more sense to them. So that was kind of the idea behind the book.
You were mentioning the recent films coming out, and for a moment I had this terrible fear that you were going to list He's Just Not That Into You, because I'll be totally honest, I watched the previews for that coming out on television, and my first response was, I began thinking of a list of chronic diseases that I might be able to fake in case my wife asked me to go see it.
Well, we are going to talk about upcoming movies, and I think that one just started on Friday, so I guess we can't think that's upcoming, so you're going to be saved from that one today, Jan. Maybe sometime in the future, but well, what we wanted to concentrate on, I guess, today, it would be the love stories, which some of them might be chick flicks, and some of them are just strictly love stories, or they might be adventure stories with a love story connected to it. And so I'm just very eager now to see if we can agree on, say, the top 5 greatest movie love stories. And I'll ask each of you for your picks. I'm going to try to keep score to see how many votes each film gets. That's kind of hard for me, so bear with me. And Diana, why don't you go first? What are your top 5 great?
Well, first of all,
stories?
Betty, you know film critics never agree on anything, so this will be interesting.
I think so. Yes, I can hardly wait.
My top 5 include Gone with the Wind,
ah.
Ghost,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore,
Right.
It's a Wonderful Life, which is, you know, everyone thinks it's a Christmas story, but it's a very passionate love story. And Kimberly, Pretty Woman, is my fourth pick.
All right.
And Last of the Mohicans is number five.
Well, Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
That's,
people don't think of that as a romance, you know, but I like when you can have a, I like when you can have a movie that has other genres, because, you know, this is something you could take a man to and everybody would enjoy it. But there's that underlying romance between Daniel Day-Lewis and Cora, who's played by Madeline Stowe, that just, man, when it zings with the chemistry, it just goes right to your heart.
I remember that. But the main thing I remember about Last of the Mohicans is that the performance that Daniel Day-Lewis gave in that film is probably one of the greatest physical performances that I've ever seen on film. I mean, running through the forest, I mean, he just, that's a great selection of movies that you have here. But I haven't thought of It's a Wonderful Life as a love story.
Well, you know, everything that George Bailey does is fueled on the love of his family. And his wife Mary, you know, and he's so confounded with his challenges that he has to, you know, he and in that one scene where he holds her and he's actually screaming at her that he doesn't love her, you know, and then all of a sudden they look at each other's eyes and she's like, well, what's going on with this? And then he just kisses her and it's there.
Well, maybe if I thought of it as a love story, I might have liked it better. That's the only one that I would find a problem with on that list. And no surprises with Gone with the Wind or Ghost. Those certainly have wonderful love stories in them. But what about you, Kim? Do you
My number four is also Pretty Woman. So we definitely agree there. The rest of my list is When Harry Met Sally. Say Anything. John Cusack movie, The Wedding Singer, and Moonstruck.
Moonstruck. I hadn't thought about Moonstruck. I haven't seen it for so long, but that was a great love story.
It's
Refresh our memory again on Say Anything.
Say Anything is the John Cusack, Ione Skye movie. We all know that image of him holding the boom box above his head and playing the Peter Gabriel song to kind of woo her back. You know, they're kind of both geeks in their own. She's the smart geek, and he's kind of the regular garden variety geek. But they're both kind of outcasts in their own way, and it's just a great geek love story.
Now I remember it. Yes, I did enjoy that one very much, and I had the pleasure of watching The Wedding Singer a couple of nights ago. It was shown on TV, and I had forgotten what a great love story that was, and how great Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler were together in that film. No wonder you have that.
They have great chemistry. They really do.
And When Harry Met Sally, no surprise there, because that's just a gem of a love story and a very special movie, I think. So
mm-hmm.
I like your selections very much. Now, how about you, Jazz?
Well, listening to the list from our esteemed guests, I first will say, God, I'm feeling terribly old today. and it never would have crossed my mind to put Pretty Woman on there because it was a story about a hooker. But
well, hookers need love, too.
I guess so. My list obviously went in a slightly different direction. I only have one very modern film, and it's going to be one of my oddball picks. But at number five, I had Sweet November. Not the new atrocity that was brought out, but the original with Sandy Dennis and Anthony Newley, which was a wonderful love story.
Remake? Was the later film a remake of the Anthony Newley, Sandy Dennis?
That was my understanding, and the reviews were just so patently atrocious from, you know, people that saw screenings that I lost interest in it immediately. But the original was great.
Was that the one with Keanu Reeves?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remake was with
yeah,
Charlize.
But the original was fantastic. At number four, one of my favorite independent films of all time, and the only newer film that I have, is Kissing Jessica Stein with Heather Jorgensen and Jennifer Westfeldt, who wrote, directed, and starred in the film. It's a very offbeat love story because it's a tangled, triangular sort of love story between two women who are disgusted with men and decide they're going to date and fall in love with a woman. But I won't spoil it for anybody. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. If you haven't seen it, give Kissing Jessica Stein a chance. It's a fantastic film and a great love story. Number three, I had Roman Holiday with Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, yeah. I never
thought
of that.
Which is one of the great unrequited love stories
because
of the ending. You know, they can't really be together because she's a princess and he's a reporter in Rome. But the sacrifices that they make for each other at the end of the film, I mean, it's a classic love story. It really is.
It is. It's a great film.
At number two, and I had my wife helping me out with this one, was Paris When It Sizzles, also with Audrey Hepburn, but with William Holden.
Oh, that one had the great Noel Coward in it.
Yes, it did. Very good.
Oh, I remember it, and I think even Marlena Dietrich was in that movie.
I would have to check. I don't have it up in front of me, but I think you could be right.
And
but definitely Noel Coward, yes.
And it was about a screenwriter and how this secretary helped him act out some of the parts in the scripts he was writing.
Going through the little fantasy sequences, and then it sort of melds into the reality of the love story that they actually have. Yeah, it was, you know, tremendous. And number one on my list, really no surprise, I think, for people that are more into the classic films, I think the greatest love story ever told was Casablanca.
We are not surprised.
I love Bogey and Bacall, but this is one of the films that Bogey did with Ingrid Bergman. And, I mean, just the sacrifice that went on there, the love they had for each other, telling the story back during the war years when they were separated and what he had to do at the end to give her the life she needed, where they clearly were so in love with each other and risking life and limb. I mean, I think Casablanca was probably the greatest love story there ever was.
Doesn't get much better than that. We like to tease you about putting that number one in all your various genre categories.
Well, I'm sorry, but there's so many genres that it applies to, and I'm unapologetic. I really think Casablanca was probably the best movie ever made.
Well, it certainly was at the top of films ever made. I would agree on that. Now, very interesting selections, Jazz. And Nikki, how about you? What are your top five love stories?
Hi. Well, you know, I totally disagree with Jazz about Casablanca and y'all. It's just not one of my favorite movies ever. So, yeah,
well, nobody's perfect.
I know. I will say I'm not. I will go right up there. But I do have my list. So I'll start from five, from the fifth one up, okay? So there's a tie for City of Angels and The Notebook for number five.
Oh.
And then number four, Always.
Now, is Always the film with Richard Dreyfuss?
Richard Dreyfuss and Holly Hunter. Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of supernatural, kind of.
Well, like he's a pilot, and it's just a neat love story that transcends time.
Right. Well said.
It does. And then number three, An Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, Richard Gere.
Number two.
Deborah
Winger. Yes. Very romantic. And then, Jazz, don't even say a word about number two, because I almost made it number one, okay? The Princess Bride. Yes, it is a love story.
It is.
You know, I love that movie, Nikki, but I am so going to kick your butt when I see you.
I love it. It's such a great
movie. Love the phrase, as you wish. I mean, we
as
use that around here a lot, as you wish. Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, number one, and it's very cliche, and I'm sorry if you all don't agree, but Titanic. It is just, ugh.
Well, how can we have a show about great love stories on film and not include Titanic? And I'm saying that in case any of the women, the other women in my family are listening, because I definitely was on their naughty list when I was one of the few critics that did not like Titanic, and most of the other women in my family shunned me. So
I know Betty Jo's trying to keep score. Do we have any repeats so far?
Well, we have pretty.
I know, right?
We have Pretty Women. So, Nikki, those are great choices too.
Don't ask me. I almost put Rocky on my list. So.
Well, you should have. What a great love story.
I thought Rocky was a fabulous love story, but it was going to be at number five if I didn't pick Sweet November. It was kind of a
We'll give it a tie. We'll give it a tie place with Sweet November.
Okay.
Well, Titanic and Officer and a Gentleman are in my top 10.
Well, see, does that help, Nikki? All right. Well, here are mine, and I have to go with An Affair to Remember as number five. It's hard to rank them, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but because I really like all of these about equally, but I'll just go in the way I listed them here. An Affair to Remember, and that was the movie that was made back in 1957 with Cary Grant and Deborah Carr. And
what
they
a great
were,
film.
They just captivated me. I know it was a sentimental movie, but it was just so intriguing to watch them fall in love and then miss connections. In fact, I think this story's been filmed 3 times, and it was even referenced in Sleepless in Seattle. But it just, I think I've watched, every time I see it listed in the TV guide.
Cary Grant is so often overlooked for the really great romantic and dramatic roles, and he was fantastic.
He was. They were both just great in that. My fourth one has already been mentioned. It's Kim's number one movie, I believe, When Harry Met Sally, and I just think this is the greatest movie ever made about how friendship can bloom into long-lasting love. And that's another one that you can just watch over and over again.
I love that movie, but again, I didn't see it as a romance movie, as a love story. I just thought it was more of a slapstick comedy.
Well, it had that aspect of it too, but love was at the center. And my number three film is one that's an unusual pick, I think, but I have to include it because it's such an artistic masterpiece. It's The Fountain, and it co-starred Hugh Jackman and Rachel Weisz as characters representing eternal love and the struggle between death and immortality. So, you know, it's a very deep film. It had elements of mysticism and symbolism and spirituality. So a lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it was just totally hypnotic and almost painfully beautiful, and I think one of the best love stories of all time. And then my number two, and then of course it had Hugh Jackman in it, so Be Still My Heart. Had to put a Hugh Jackman movie in on my list. And my number two was Tristan and Isolde, and this one is a love story for the ages. It's based on a Celtic myth about it's a tragic love story between a courageous English knight and a beautiful Irish princess. But there's enough battles in this, besides the chemistry that's so great between James Franco and Sophia Myles, there's enough battles to please action fans, as well as gorgeous cinematography to impress everyone. I just think it's a very, very underrated movie. And my number one greatest love story on film probably won't be picked by anyone else, but it's Return to Me. It's a perfect Valentine movie. It co-stars David Duchovny and Minnie Driver, and it's about Minnie Driver's character receiving David Duchovny's dead wife's heart. Now, doesn't that sound like a downer? But they
mm-hmm.
meet, but it is not. It's not a downer at all. It has, you do cry, but you laugh most of the time, and it's a joy to watch. It's very touching, funny, and very romantic. So, it's, as I say, it's a perfect movie for Valentine's Day because it is about a heart that's transplanted from one person to another and results in great happiness for the couple involved. So let's see, what do we have here? Oh my goodness, we only have 2 films that appear on more than one list: Pretty Women and When Harry Met Sally. So this just goes to show you that there's a lot of differences in what people think are the greatest love stories.
I told you that.
You did. You have.
I own a copy of Pretty Woman. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those typical guys, I wouldn't watch that. I think it was a great film. It was a dramatic film and a comedy. I think it was kind of a dramedy. I love the supporting actors in it. I just didn't get the whole love story aspect. I realized she was in love with him. He was kind of in love with her. They were from 2 different societies and things, but come on, people, she was a hooker.
Well,
hey,
a human being,
good
too.
Things can happen to bad people. That's wonderful.
Right, and Nikki, I wonder if there are any films that are being mentioned in the chat that
yes, there actually are.
Okay.
I'm going to scroll up as much as I can, but George says The Pajama Game.
Oh, a musical.
Yes, yep.
Yay.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Of course.
French kiss.
With Kevin Kline. Oh, that was so good.
Ghost.
We have Ghost, okay.
Love Actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, great one.
Truly, Madly, Deeply. And Fausta put that in, but she said she cried so hard she could never watch it again.
Yes, it was. It had that effect on me, too. Okay.
Two for the Road.
Yeah, that was the Albert Finney. Okay.
That was a good one, yeah.
Right.
Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve. I love that movie. Oh,
beautiful.
That one gets me crying, too.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let's see, we already got A Fair to Remember. Did we get that one?
Right, that was one of mine.
All right. That's good.
Wow.
And then, of course, The Notebook, which I had on my fifth. But you know what I think is so interesting? And this definitely goes back to human nature. Okay, and then I know, of course, Kimberly and Diana will agree with me that when you can choose an action movie, like when we choose action movies, all three of us or four of us might have two or three of the same. But when it comes to love stories, they're so personal. I just find it quite interesting that we didn't hardly repeat anything.
Nikki's absolutely right. And you mentioned action stories, Nikki, and it is interesting to me that I found myself veering away from action movies because you immediately think, oh, well, that can't be a love story. When I stop and think, there's a number of action movies that are my favorites that I have actually cried at the end of because there were big love stories interwoven in there. One of my favorite films is Deep Impact. And, yeah, it's a science fiction movie. It's a action movie. You know, there's explosions and all that. But there's these two intertwining love stories in it. And, you know, but it doesn't really qualify as a love story movie because it's so sci-fi.
Yes, and
How about True Lies?
Right.
True Lies, I think.
Oh, another good one. Excellent choice, Nick.
Nikki, I loved what you said about how personal the love stories are to us. And I want to thank the chat for their great contributions. These are wonderful movies.
I have two more. Out of Africa.
Oh, yes.
Out of Africa from
Meryl Streep.
And Bridges of Madison County.
Another Meryl Streep. Okay.
Yeah.
There are so many. So
I know, right?
That reminded me that I wanted to include African Queen, but I was already kind of stretching the limit with Bogey.
And that was the next one. That's the next one. My Marla is telling us, and that was her third one. Yep.
African Queen. Yep. Oh, I'm going to be watching movies all the rest of the month here that are love stories, I think, after all of these have been brought to my attention.
I just love all the lists. And so
everybody go back and watch Roman Holiday again, though. It was just on TV on AMC the other night, and I got it. If you've never taken the chance to enjoy that, such a wonderful film.
Oh, yes. I try to watch that, too, every time it shows. Well, let's move on to favorite romantic couples on screen. I think that's a natural place to go when we're talking about love stories on film. Kimberly, who do you think are the best romantic couples on film?
I think I have to go with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I just I think Meg Ryan is kind of the all-time queen of the chick flick love story. She has that kind of, I think it's much tougher to be a chick flick leading woman than it is to be the leading man, just because I think that they have to be successful, kind of pull off a vulnerability that, you know, not the damsel in distress, but there's still that vulnerability that's really hard to get across without doing that. And she just has done it in so many movies that we all have on our list, we all think are classic. And she and Tom Hanks just have that incredible chemistry together. It's, you know, it's weird. It's not really a sexual chemistry, but it's definitely you can see them being in love, and they have this great comedy energy between them. And so they would definitely be my all-time pick.
That's a great choice. And they've made several movies together. Isn't that correct? They've made Sleepless in Seattle.
You've got Meg.
Joe and the Volcano, was that Meg Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
In that.
That, and you've got Mail also, more recent. Mm-hmm.
Right, and they do, they go very well together. Well, what about you, Diana? Any favorite romantic couples on screen?
Well, I would have to go along with Jazz and say that Bogey and Bergman in Casablanca have to be up there at the top. I also liked Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman in Notorious. I think they were very well put together in that. I was a great fan of Deborah Winger and Richard Gere in An Officer and a Gentleman.
And I liked Sam and Molly and Ghost. I think if there were two stars that you would never figure out could actually get a chemistry going together, and I think they achieved that.
Oh, they did. Absolutely. For me, I'm going back farther to Glenn Ford and Rita Hayworth. To me, they sizzled on screen more than any other couple, especially in the movie Gilda. They had that push-pull sort of hate-love kind of relationship going that was just so fascinating. And, of course, I do love the chemistry, as I already mentioned, between Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in the two films they made together. But you know what? No couple, to me, was more believably in love than Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn in their films as co-stars, except maybe Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. You believe
she stole one of mine already, because Bogey and Bacall was my old one, and I wanted to have an old and a new for the best couple. And Kevin Costner and Rene Russo were my new couple that I thought were up there, and they've done several films together. Tin Cup.
Tin Cup. Oh, they were great in that.
Great love story. But Bogey and Bacall is probably my all-time favorite pairing.
I'm not surprised at that, but I have to say though that Antonio Banderas has exceptional chemistry with all his co-stars.
He does, no matter who he is with.
He's really great. Well, what about romantic scenes? What's your favorite romantic scene in a love story, Kimberly?
You know, I really love the end of Bridget Jones's Diary, which, again, is kind of one of those chick flicks that isn't necessarily a love story. There's a lot of other things going on there. But I love the scene at the end where she's Renee Zellweger is running through the streets of London in her underwear and coat to catch up with Colin Firth. And it's snowing. There's just a lot of very funny things going on, but it's a really sweet ending, and it's the person that you want her to be with in the end, and they get together in a very funny but great way.
That's a great scene. And what about you, Diana?
I'm going to throw one in here. Canines, Lady and the Tramp, the spaghetti. Could we ever have spaghetti again in our life without hearing that music and watching those two dogs eat that spaghetti?
That's a good one, yes. That does stick in our mind. That is great. Jazz, what about your favorite romantic scene in a movie?
Well, everybody's going to hate me because I am so boring, but I'm going to have to go back to my standby. I think the scene at the plane with two crazy kids in this mixed-up world, I think Bogey and Bergman at the end of Casablanca, where he's giving up the one true love of his life to send her off on the plane with Victor, it's probably the most heart-wrenching moment ever put on film, and I think that was the greatest scene.
Oh, it was memorable, definitely memorable. And, you know, I just can't help picking a couple of scenes from musicals because I am the most avid movie musical fan on the planet. I will pick Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman singing every love song they can possibly fit into about 15 minutes on top of this huge elephant prop in Moulin Rouge. They looked like they were desperately in love, and that they meant every lyric that they were singing, and I just that just sticks in my mind. Also, John Travolta and Christopher Walken in Hairspray. Now, of course, John Travolta was in this huge fat suit and was playing a woman, and who was married to Christopher Walken's character, and when they did a number called Timeless to Me, I forgot that was John Travolta and Christopher Walken, and was so moved by the love that they showed to each other in that particular musical number. But I also like the pedicure scene from Bull Durham, between where Kevin Costner was painting Susan Sarandon's toenails. But I have to agree about
A good one, Betty Jo. That's a great one. Yeah, from Bull Durham. Yes.
And that was an all-round good movie. I think we have time also, when we were picking the best love stories on film, I forgot to ask, well, then what are the worst love stories on film? Do you want to start with that, Kim?
You know, I don't really have a worst specific movie. For me, I kind of, and I know a lot of people love her, but I kind of avoid anything with Kate Hudson. Just it never works for me. Whoever she's with, even Matthew McConaughey, it just never works for me. So just pretty much anything with her, I'll tend to avoid.
Oh, and she does appear often with Matthew McConaughey, so I
mm-hmm.
would avoid them too. What about you, Diana? Do you have some worst love stories on film?
I do, and these are mostly recent ones. Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock in The Lake House. There was more chemistry between that water and the lake than there was those two.
It's on my list, too.
Steve Martin and Claire Danes in Shop Girl. I'm sorry, I felt like he was her father. And the newest one is Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston and Marley and Me. I mean, the story worked about the dog, but there was no chemistry between them.
Absolutely not. I mean, there was chemistry between them and the dog, but
mm-hmm.
not between the two of them together. And
I felt like they were reading their lines the whole time.
I know.
You can almost see their lips moving as they read the prompter, yes.
Right. How about you, Jazz? Do you have some worst film?
Yeah, I had two for that, and I I'm sure nobody will like them. One of them was The War of the Roses, Michael Douglas, with the scene on the chandelier at the end of the film as they're about to crash to their death, which
I thought was just kind of a
yeah. love story, but it just was so horrible at the end of it that it was just cringeworthy. And the other one, everybody always hates it when I bring this movie up, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time, but one of the worst love stories ever was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show between Riff Raff and his sister Magenta. Which was a love story, but holy cow, that was disturbing.
It was, yes. I remember that. Well, and Nikki, do you have some picks for the worst love stories on film?
I do, and I'm going to read some from the chat room, too.
Great.
So, yeah, for me, I'm going to have to say Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh.
I'm just saying you could technically say that it
I'm
was...
going to agree with that one, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm really in there too.
By the way, on War of the Roses, and the chat room is in total agreement. And Sunny says that the worst was Brokeback Mountain. Okay.
Oh, that's...
See, I was wondering, I was going to ask earlier, why did none of us pick that as one of the better ones? You know, is that some sort of a social commentary? That's probably a subject for the show.
I don't think so.
I don't think so,
because I love
Philadelphia,
but I'm just saying.
It was a love story.
But they're saying it was one of the worst in the chat room.
Well, it certainly was beautifully told, but it was a pretty long, drawn-out story, I thought. But it was a beautifully told love story. That's right. That probably should have made somebody's list. So any others that are mentioned in the chat?
Let me scroll up, because, you know, it goes by so fast.
I know. Well, while you're doing that, I will give a couple of mine. And I was absolutely bored, silly, in Knights and Rodanti with Richard Gere and Diane Lane, and they looked great together. But the story just didn't work at all. I hope that they put those two together in a much better love story than that one was. And New in Town, which just opened up about a week ago with Renee Zellweger and Harry Connick Jr., the whole film was as cold as the Minnesota winter that they depicted. And here you have two great actors in a movie that's just filled with drivel and very, very hard to believe. Poor Renee Zellweger had to play a very, very unpleasant character. I agree with Diana about Lake House. What a far-fetched love story. Again, very, very, very slow. License to Wed. John Krasinski and Mandy Moore had zero chemistry in that particular movie. And they were forced to go through, to read lines from a script that no one should ever be forced to do. And then over Her Dead Body, there was no chemistry between Lake Bell and Paul Rudd. And I don't know why the filmmakers didn't see that and just scratch the whole thing before they let it go past the first couple of pages. So
we had another great suggestion come in, by the way.
Yes.
One of my favorite films, by the way, but one of the horrible love stories buried into it, being John Malkovich.
Mm-hmm.
That was just such a disturbing love story, I have to agree.
Yes, that really was. And did we talk about the worst couples in romantic films? I think that Kim, you did mention that you couldn't you just kind of steered clear of Kate Hudson, and I mentioned that Matthew McConaughey paired with anyone did not appeal to me. But were there any romantic couples that you'd like to put on the worst list, Jazz?
Anything with Marilyn Monroe. Anything
Ooh.
That she was in. I thought, I realize it's not a popular opinion. She was a beautiful woman. I thought she was a terrible actress, and she was very shallow. And the films we saw her in where she was the love interest, I never believed it. I thought she was just terrible as playing a love interest person as part of a love story. She could do action, she could do pretty girl, she could do model, but she was never believable to me as somebody who was really in love with someone. So pick any one of her films.
I thought she had great chemistry with Eve Montand in the musical that they did together, and I've forgotten Love Me or... I can't remember the name of that. I'm going to have to check it out. But I think that the attention was so much on her, it was almost like it was a Mae West movie. And, of course, there wasn't too much chemistry between Mae West and her co-stars because everything was just, you know, it was all Mae West, and that was what was zeroed in on her personality. So,
come on up and see me sometime.
Exactly. So that's kind of a comparison that maybe you would make.
Certainly.
So, yeah, well, we could do another show on this. I mean, there's just so much to talk about in connection with love stories and chick flicks, but I cannot believe that we're almost out of time, and I want to thank Kimberly Potts and Diana Sanger for being such great guests today. And Kimberly, I hope you'll come back again soon. Will you do that for us?
Oh, anytime, Betty Jo. Thank you so much.
And Diana, the same goes for you. We hope to hear you back on the show again soon. Will you do
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Absolutely.
Diana, it's always such a pleasure, yes.
It definitely is. And I'd like to remind everyone about our Valentine book giveaway again. If you want to participate in our drawing for a copy of Kimberly's terrific chick flick book or of the ebook version of It Had to Be Us, just send an email to me at realtalkreviews. I'm sorry, I'm going to give that address again, at realtalk@comcast.net. So that's REELTALK, realtalk@comcast.net. And I'm sure Nikki will put that in the chat. And just mention that you'd like to take part in the Valentine book giveaway. Then your name will be placed in our random drawing. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support in connection with this show. Special thanks, as always, to Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw for everything they do to make Movie Attic Headquarters so much fun, and to Kimberly and Diana for being such entertaining guests today. Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or took part in the chat. The chat just gave us some wonderful contributions today, and we really appreciate it. Please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for another lively discussion about movies. We hope our special guest will be none other than comic actor Patrick Warburton, whose movie and TV credits are too numerous to mention, but who's probably best known for playing Putty in Seinfeld and Jeff in Rules of Engagement. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. As usual, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to close the show with a song dedicated to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners, and happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
and be true.